Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, I'm Alan Cumming, and welcome to My Shelves. My shelves are sort of a museum of my life. I like to keep things from my travels that are, to me anyway, the very essence of the experiences I've had. Sort of portals, if you will, to a specific time and place. And the inspiration for stories and memories and musings. Here is one of my favourite cushions. I love a cushion. And here's a cushion with my friend Esther the Wonder Pig's face on it. If you don't know who Esther the Wonder Pig is, please find out immediately. This is amazing. It's a black wallet. But when you open it, flames come out. Yes. Hello, everybody. This is a very exciting and unusual thing you're listening to right now, because it's not, you may have come on here thinking you're just going, oh, it's Alan Cumming Shells. I know it'll be Alan Cumming wittering on about something of his shells. It is that, but it's more today, because my guest...
It's a mashup. It's me, Chris Sweeney from Homo Sapiens.
So we're doing today, as a special commemorative gesture, like in the way that you'd buy a mug or a tea towel, it is my last episode of Homo Sapiens going out today as co-host with Chris. And so we're doing a special mashup extravaganza of Alan Cumming Shelves / Homo Sapiens. The first part's here on Alan Cumming Shelves, and then you have to zip over to Homo Sapiens to hear the future gems that we will impart to you. And I'm very excited about it. Are you, Chris?
Absolutely. Well, if you remember, Alan, we did a little Homo Sapiens crossover with the podcast Talk Art.
And that was great.
It was great fun. So here we are doing another one.
Did we do one more?
Did we? With Newsnight, I think, wasn't it?
Yes, I was Kirsty Wark.
I feel like this episode is sending you off into the podcast... sailing off into the podcast ether.
It is, and actually very appropriately, the thing that we're going to talk about from my shelves. You are my guest, first of all, and the thing that we're talking about is this, my little Zoom machine that I'm holding up, that I'm actually talking into right now, which you gave me when I first became a podcaster on Homo Sapiens. So here we go.
The way back when, to say that a Zoom recording... or talking about a Zoom simply meant a podcast recorder. And then
that was actually before Zoom was like the Zoom that we're actually looking at each other on now.
Isn't it weird?
It's so crazy, the things that have happened. And even actually, I was listening to our conversation that the viewers are about to hear, is that this is only a few months. We spoke a few months ago when we were both in Australia.
Yes.
And even that seems like a long time ago, Chris.
It does. And it's funny because two things I remember most about that is... we were both in Australia in the same city, and yet we didn't get to see each other because you got out of quarantine four hours after I had to get on my plane.
And this is the sad thing, that in this chat we're about to hear, I still at that point, I'm hopeful. It's before my dreams were quashed, because I thought I was going to see you. You were going to take me for breakfast and show me all the favorite haunts of Adelaide, but that did not happen. I emerged from my quarantine actually at 1 minute past midnight.
The early thing.
I got escorted out at 1 minute past midnight and tried to hold my breath as I went down the corridor, because the whole Melbourne thing that started off the latest burst of infections, man who went to, he got out of quarantine and went to Melbourne and of course went to 25 bars and everything and spread it. He'd caught it in the corridor of my hotel as he was leaving quarantine.
Are you kidding me?
No. And so I kept my mask on and kind of tried to hold my breath as I went along the corridor and down in the elevator.
Oh my God. Well, and also speaking of 25 bars, if you remember, when we recorded this, I had been out all night and had lost my voice.
Yes, you very demurely said you'd lost your voice. Actually, it was because you'd had about 20,000 fags and 20,000 vodkas the night before for your
Single one was delicious. I want to make that clear.
And I was so jealous because I'd been teetotal for my 2 weeks of quarantine. That's all changed.
Were you?
I know. See, I can do it when I have to. Yeah, I didn't have a single drink during quarantine.
Bless you. Well done. And
then I gorged myself on the delicious South Australian wine. I've actually, rediscovered Riesling.
Oh, they love Riesling in Australia.
They love a Riesling. And it's not, I always think of Riesling as something my mum will have. You know, it's sort of like a blue nun or something sweet, sort of something or other. But actually, I stand corrected.
Riesling was the thing you could get in the corner shop, in the corner shop near your house where they would serve you when I was 14. Do you know what I mean? So it was always like the weird sweet wine that was just a bit odd. But now, as I, you know,
now it's classy.
Wine, now it's very classy.
I tell you the other thing I've also gone back to is Chardonnay. I used to sort of think, you know, my friend Brooks would say, I don't want a Chardonnay. I don't want anything that's been near oak.
Yeah.
She'd always say that. But now I've actually grown to love a Chardonnay again.
Do you?
Isn't it interesting how we grow and learn and come back to things in life?
It really is. Aren't we scions of beautiful, intelligent conversation as well? I feel like we're tantalizing your listeners here, Alan.
I know. Shall we just get on with it? Here, ladies and gentlemen, my guest today on Alan Cumming Shelves / Homo Sapiens Extravaganza is Mr. Chris Sweeney.
Mille grazie.
Welcome, bienvenue, welcome. Fremda.
It feels like you're in a Russian Cold War drama. There's a knock at the door.
Yes.
And you go to the door and there's nobody there. There's just a little bag outside.
Yes.
Vegan treats in it, and they call you all the time and ask you how your mental health is.
I know, and I love that, and I love Australia for that. They're really on top of your mental health. But what's weird is that I don't know if you found this, but like I assumed that all the people calling me were in the hotel, but those people are not in the hotel, so they don't know where
not
you
those
are.
Ones. No, because and also there's a funny thing happened with our phones. We got you got all these notes. It's very busy, actually. I mean, for being in a
really
sort of 2 week quarantine, there's nonstop calls and knocks at the door. And there was a thing today saying if you're like the person who's not at the hotel, like the Australian government checking on my mental health and coughing, said I tried to call you, and there was one dial of the thing, and then I heard music. And I went, oh, I was playing music loudly. Maybe I couldn't hear you. But actually, the phone system's been bonkers. So there's a thing put under the door saying, unplug all your phones for 10 seconds and put them back in.
Really?
So I did. I know that's the big drama today. It's a lot. You can tell there's a lot going on.
It's, yeah.
That and I made stew in my crock pot.
Well, you know you're famously not on Facebook, but you have to join Facebook because then you can join your hotel's quarantining Facebook group and then everybody chats on there.
They told me about it. The man at the desk when I was didn't check in. I was sort of escorted in, which was that's also quite good. I felt like, what's his name? The man who sold the secrets and now lives in Russia.
Oh,
Edward Snowden. I feel like Edward Snowden.
Yes. Well, you feel a bit like you're in Ocean's 11 or something, don't you? Like it's this sort of part of a big heist. Being ushered into a police escort
you mustn't touch anything and there's policemen looking at you and there's people in hazmat suits and then like you have to unplug your phone and everything. Yeah, so I feel like I feel a bit like Edward Snowden, just I have no secrets at all.
And when I got off the plane, because it was very hazmat suits, lots of people waving you through, when I got off the plane I absolutely shat myself and was like, what have I done? From the first 5 minutes onwards, I felt so happy and safe. And I think the Australians have done it so beautifully.
Totally. It's amazing, actually. It really is amazing. Anyway, I should tell you what the thing is that I want to talk to you about today, Chris. The thing from my shelves.
What an honour this is.
You are the sort of reason I have Alan Cumming Shelves, and the thing I've taken down from Alan Cumming Shelves today to talk to you about is my Zoom machine, which people have you not found that? Cause anyway, ladies and gentlemen, and those who don't define us either, a Zoom machine is a little sound equipment thing with four little knobs, and you can have four microphones in it, and it's got little things going up. You can see a little screen, and you can see how loud you're being, and a microphone sticks in it, and we record podcasts on it.
Yes.
And of course, everyone, when you say I've got a Zoom machine, everyone goes, "I know, Alan, we all have Zoom." No, I don't mean Zoom, that Zoom.
I know, and you go, "Should we do it on Zoom?" Like, you're talking about some new thing, and I'm like, "Not yet."
I know, it's but so annoying.
They're so brilliant, aren't they?
Honestly, it's changed my life, the Zoom machine. Here's what happened, everybody. About 4 years ago.
Yeah.
4 years ago, maybe. I was asked to be a guest on a podcast called Homo Sapiens that was hosted by the lovely Christopher Sweeney and the lovely Will Young, the top international pop star and actor and everything and writer. And so I said yes, and they came to see me in Edinburgh. And and that was crazy. So that was, anyways, I should go one story at a time. Anyway, I'll carry on with this story. They came to see me in Edinburgh because I was there at my place in Scotland. And tell us about what happened the night before you met me, Chris. This couldn't make this up.
The night before I met you, we were driving up to Edinburgh and it was really heavy snow.
You and Will.
Yeah, Will was driving, I was passenger. Will's a very good driver. And we had a massive car crash, very sadly. Nobody was hurt, but it was one of the most terrifying things that's ever happened to me.
It sounds, wasn't it like you were driving along and Will went into the lay-by thinking it was the road?
Yeah,
because it's a skinny little road.
It had just snowed really heavily, so you couldn't, you know, that those sort of minutes.
Oh,
no,
that'd be... Hang on, that'll be the Australian government. Hang on a second.
It'll be your mental health. Hang on. Asking how you are.
Hello. Oh, nobody.
Hello.
Oh, hello. That's so weird. Hello. I can hear. Oh, hang on.
It's coming from under the bed.
Hang on a second. I'll be back in a minute.
Alan can hear a disembodied voice coming from somewhere in the room. See, look at that chair. Alan's just got up from his chair. It honestly it's the most rococo, looks like a shell, a leather shell. It's very becoming. It's sort of quite Liza Minnelli.
How crazy was that? That was the that was the Australian government asking me about my mental health and everything.
No, you're kidding me.
No, it was. He said to me, that's why I couldn't, I mean, who's calling me in quarantine in Australia?
Yes.
Only the Australian government.
Yes.
He said to me, you know, I'm a doctor. Are there any questions you want to ask me? I was like, oh my God, loads. But it's just because I haven't talked to anyone all day, not because I've got anything wrong with me.
He said, one of them said to me, have you felt an overwhelming sense of hopelessness in the past few days? I was like,
of course.
I work in entertainment, dear. Of course I do.
then he said, when I said that about how I hadn't talked to anyone all day, he goes, were you just talking to someone when I came on the phone? I was like, yes, I'm in the middle of a podcast. He goes, oh, what's it called? Will I be in it?
Yes and yes is the answer.
Oh, yes and yes, absolutely.
Also,
anyway, back to your drama in a lay-by.
So there's me in a lay-by. No, so it just snowed. And you know, in those sort of 10 minutes after it snowed, like the whole world is white and we were driving around a corner and I'm driving with my really good friend who I adore. I also know better than to backseat drive because we'd already had some crosswords up a hill going to Francis Lee's house when I tried to direct him how to park and in Yorkshire. So I was like, as we were turning the corner, I was like, I don't think we're on the road anymore. I think this is on the lay-by. And then I saw that there was a car parked in the lay-by and... it was because it was so pitch black, like you only saw because our headlights illuminated the car. And so we went smashing into the back of it, sadly, but there was no one in the car, thank God. So,
And that's what I loved. That was the detail I loved. So that Will and you crash into his car, you both get out of the car absolutely you know, shocked up to high do and everything. And the guy sees you and goes, I'm gay too.
Yes.
Did he say that?
Yeah. And it's, he said, oh yeah, I'm gay too. And it was so funny because the reason we had done this whole thing where the story of the podcast season was we were going on a road trip around the UK. And we wanted to, because LGBT stuff is often based around cities and based around London, quite frankly. Mm. And so on the beginning of our journey, as we were driving through Fulham, someone shouted, you drive like a faggot at Will. As we were like chatting away in the car, being like, do you think it's still relevant? Do we even need to be doing this? Maybe the world's moved on. Then someone went, you drive like a faggot. We were like, yeah, we need to do this.
And then we
crash into someone and they're like, I'm gay too. And you're like, this is just hysterical. Yes. And then we arrived at the hotel where we were meeting you.
Yes.
Because we stayed there overnight. That was it. And
it's the next day you met me. Yeah.
Yeah. We drank a bottle of red wine and processed it. And then the next day you came to us with Lala and Jerry, I think.
Yeah. I think Jerry was there, but I think Jerry went, Lala stayed in the room whilst we were talking, but Jerry went with Grant and Rob was there. My friend Rob was there too.
Yes.
So, and the thing was that I have said, it seems hilarious considering I have, I'm the host of right now two podcasts, but I actually said how much I hated doing podcasts as a guest. I've grown to love them. But I just felt like it was that time when, obviously we now live in a time of podcasts. I always think of Parker Posey in that dog film when I say that, because remember she said that we're so lucky to live in a time of catalogues. And I think that's what it's like for podcasts now. And but it was just the start. I was getting asked to do so many podcasts. I don't know. I've just been doing loads and loads of press. Anyway.
Yes.
And also because we at the time shared an agent, lovely Connor.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, they're great boys. You'll love it. So anyway, I did it. And it was so great. I loved, well, you know, like just like now, we just got on like a house on fire. Mm. And I'd met Will previously a wee bit, but hadn't met you. But anyway, so then cut to a couple of years later, and Will has gone off to do more singing, and so I am asked to take over to be your co-host, and so that's why I got the Zoom machine, and the microphone I am holding right now.
Yes.
Boom! Made it back to the beginning of the story. Look at that, and not an Adderall in sight.
Well, maybe.
I've got a lot of equipment now. You know, this is the thing about the pandemic, is that I was talking to someone the other day about this. We all have so much techie equipment, all like cameras, and everyone's got good lighting. That's actually the best thing about this pandemic. It's brought the awareness of good lighting to the world.
A ring light.
Everyone's got a key light. Our ring lights are up the wild. I wish I'd invested in ring lights.
Have you started this? So do you use one now?
Yes. Mm. I mean, obviously not at the moment. Look at me. We should tell everyone that we didn't think we were going to be. We actually are looking at each other right now on a Zoom of the other kind. But because we normally do a different thing where we don't. One of the things about if you come on this podcast, and it's sort of a thing I do, especially for ladies, I always say, you know, it's like old fashioned radio. You're not going to be seen. You don't have to get makeup on. You don't have to worry about. You can actually do it in your bed. But of course, today we couldn't get that system to work. So I'm in this sort of tatty old top that the pajamas I got free on the plane, and shorts and socks. You look pretty respectable.
Well, thanks.
Jack, my predator, was in his pajamas too back in London.
Yes.
But anyway, Chris, tell us about what you're doing here in Adelaide.
So I came here on December the 31st to direct a TV show called The Tourist, which is for HBO and BBC and Stan in Australia. And it's a very funny thriller starring none other than Jamie Dornan, who is here as well.
Lovely.
Danielle McDonald, who's an incredible actor who was in films like Patty Cakes.
I love Patty Cakes.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. That was about the rapper, the girl who was the rapper.
Yeah. That's Danielle.
I love that film. Oh, I love her. And yeah, she's an Aussie, isn't she?
Yes, she's an Aussie. And then Shalom Broom Franklin, who is also an Aussie, who was in Line of Duty. So while we've been filming, has become even more of a megastar than she was already.
It's just finished, isn't it, Line of Duty in Britain?
Yeah, it's just finished in Britain. So yeah, it was that she was an integral part of a lot of the kind of fan fiction clues stuff, which as someone who doesn't watch Line of Duty, I'm not entirely sure what that means. But 14 million people or something watched it in the UK, which I think is like double what most shows get.
Wow, that's I mean, it's how many people are in Britain? Like
12,
50 or something.
I don't know. So, yeah, so we've been here doing that. So we've been all around the Australian outback, like out by the Flinders Ranges, which is basically thousands and thousands of miles of red dust, filming anything that moves, quite frankly, having a wonderful time.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Sam Walker. I've spent the last few months talking to this guy.
I'm a hunter. It's what I do.
He's called KC.
Our rules of engagement are pretty simple. If we have to pull a trigger on one person, they're all going to go.
He's an American vigilante.
And there is one of the biggest men I've ever seen. And he's got a knife in his hand.
He rescues kidnapped children.
There's no feeling in the world like putting a child back in the arms of its parents.
By any means necessary.
Well, it's ugly. You want me to make sure I don't hurt anybody?
He scares me.
And he kind of looked at me and I said, I swear to God, I said, if you do anything other than what I told you to do, I said, I'm going to kill you right here.
And he might scare you.
About got tears in your eyes right now just thinking about that, don't you?
Download the podcast, American Vigilante.
Download American Vigilante.
Out now.
Now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm curious about how you actually became I know how you became a top international director, but how did you become a top international podcaster? You were kind of at the vanguard of podcasting in a way.
Well, it's interesting you say that because I think that, so the way it happened was I always loved listening to Woman's Hour on BBC Radio 4, which is a very kind of, very middle class sort of institution in the UK. But when it was like their 50th anniversary or their 30th anniversary, and they were talking about it as a show, and they said, oh, in fact, 40% of the listeners of Woman's Hour are men. So we have to cater to them when we do our meetings about what we're going to put in the show. And I had a little chuckle to myself thinking that there's this 1 hour a week that women get, and even that has to be catered to men.
Yeah.
And and I was talking to Will Young, and we always exchanged ideas and chatted away, and I said, isn't it crazy they've never done that but for queer people? Like, it just seems such an obvious idea to me. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, I think I'm gonna do it. And he was like, I'd like to do it with you. So we just, it was one of those things where I was like, okay, let's just do it. And we met 2 days later, like, and recorded it.
It's like Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney. Let's put on a show right here.
Right, there you go. Which one am I?
I love you don't know that reference.
I literally don't know the reference at all. This is all they...
Oh my God.
All, we've got this lovely member of the team here called Shannon, who is encyclopedic knowledge of old movies and old records, old music, everything. every time he asks.
I would tell Shannon about that. Just say Mickey Rooney and Judy Garland. What would that be? And it's like, because there was all these films they made as young starlets where they're like, you know, okay, there's been a storm. Okay, the theater's fallen down. Let's put on a show right here.
I love
and
it.
And they do. And they tap dance away. I was just looking at my Zoom, always paranoidly checking that it's still rolling, because there was a couple of times when we were doing Homo Sapiens. You had a very famous one. Who did you use? Sometimes, listeners, you have to, you know, if you kind of get lost in the moment, as I do, you're like, ah, ha, ha, suddenly you look down and the little screen on your Zoom is blank. Oh, now it says our meeting will end in 10 minutes on our other Zoom. This is a disaster. Oh, my God. Oh, why is it doing that?
Because you've done it on
I thought I paid all this.
You haven't paid your bills.
I've done the wrong thing. Haven't paid my bill. Jack! Hello, Chris. Guys, we're having a very technical issues here tonight.
I don't think we've had, this is the fourth iteration. I don't think we've got past the first question.
I know. And also now my next door neighbour, who someone else is quarantining, has decided to play very loud music. What is it, in fact? No, well, they turned it down a bit. Anyway, sometimes when you look down, you see that the little light's gone out, the little screen's gone, and it means that what happens to me is that I accidentally pull the plug out. And so this happened. Yes. Like, I can't remember which interview it was on Homo Sapiens. For about half an hour, my recording was terrible. I mean, we had to make a special announcement.
Yes,
it was like being called out in class for being a bad boy. You'd just say, during this interview, Alan's Zoom machine mysteriously stopped. And so, now my slow cooker's beeping. Can you hear that?
I certainly can.
My God.
Normally it's my washing machine.
My God.
So I'm guilt-free. I know. And it's funny because there's that awful moment when your blood runs cold as you look down while someone's talking to you and you realize you haven't been recording.
Oh, it's the worst.
And you go, I have to stop them and I've got to tell them. And it happened with Russell T. Davies.
Oh my God, legend. Russell T. Davies.
Legend who wrote
It's a Sin and Queer as Folk and everything.
Queer as
and
folk
oh and... God, I forgot you. That's right. How much did you not record?
I don't know, because we kind of just went back and started again, and this was probably our third ever interview. But what was, I think probably 20 minutes, but what was delightful about it was how lovely he was. And he was just so nice about it. And, you know, it was a nice little salutary lesson. It's like, you just got to be honest. And I was
totally.
Like, I have to tell you, I'm so
yes.
sorry.
I think it's hilarious that today's episode is about my podcast machine and my sort of journey into podcasts. And it's probably the least technically adept podcast in history. Phone calls, crock pots.
Yes. There'll be a helicopter will come smashing into your window in a sec, just to finish it off. But I think it's, yes, we wouldn't want that, sorry. But I think it's pertinent, actually, to the whole point of why I love podcasting, because they are homemade and it contains all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I get a bit frustrated when I'm making things like directing TV shows, the level of polish that everybody insists on putting on everything.
Yes.
And I'm like, the stuff with the lumps and bumps
absolutely,
is the most interesting.
Absolutely. I always find that mostly with sound people. Sorry, all the sound people I've worked with in my career, but I find it so annoying and anal that you know what I think is it? Like you get these radio mics, right? And they hide them in your tie or in your clothes or stick it to your chest so that for people who don't know that, you know, actors in TV shows or films, they've always got a mic strapped to them usually. Gone are the days when it was just done by a boom. They have a boom as well. Don't know why. But they all, or though sometimes, you know, I did a series in South Africa, didn't use any radio mics. And I was thinking, no one's going to hear a bloody word I'm saying. Thank the Lord, because that's maybe why my performance was so big. but we've always got little radio mics attached to us, hidden. You never know that they're strapped to your leg. You know, all the pack is strapped to your leg or your back or something. I like it in the small of my back. But Then you go on these talk shows and they have these huge blooming mics, little lapel mics that look like they're at, you know, BBC outside broadcast circa 1967. And I think, why can't they hide them? Why can't they hide them like in sound? Anyway, I'm always shocked about how anal sound people are. And actually, as you're saying, I know they've got to be more professional when it's like a drama and things like that. But nonetheless, do you know what I mean? Mm. Get a grip.
I do. And I think that it's, you know, you're asking me, why did I get involved in podcasting? And I think
there
was
a question there originally. Yes, I forgot. Yes. Thank you.
But, you know, the reason I started doing it is because I felt that I wanted to do something that was fast and not policed. And one, and two, I also felt that I'd noticed that in interviews on the radio, I got so bored listening to people interviewing people on the radio and just always going for the quote, trying to get a quote out of someone. And we'd actually lost the art of conversation on the radio. Yeah. And so we always say on Homo Sapiens, you know, we say to our guests, like, if there's something you don't want to talk about, we take it out. You know, it's a conversation. It's not an interview, because I'm not a journalist and I never wanted to be. And actually, I think that's what I love about it. And that's you just really don't get in the way of anything. Anyone can do it how they want, where they want, from. And actually, I love that we've done this on Zoom, the visual side of it. I really like. I like being with the person. Yeah. And we used to originally not interview people unless they would meet us in person. We would turn people down if they wanted to do it on Zoom.
Oh, really? Did they have Zoom in those days?
Yeah, it was Skype, you know.
Well, I remember Skype, we were going to interview. Remember Skype? Gosh, Skype, what happened to Skype? Poor thing.
They dropped the ball. How did they manage to
They were like sort of Pele. The sort of Pele of on-screen communication. And then along comes Zoom the pandemic and they've dropped the ball. Now Zoom is David Beckham.
Zoom is Marcus Rashford.
Oh my goodness, look at you and your references. Also, I think
Alan,
you know,
Shearer,
that,
I know them all.
Look at goal. Did I tell you that the only time I ever did heard of Zoom, not the Zoom machine that's the subject of Alan Cumming's show today, but Zoom, like what we're looking at each other on, I did therapy on it. Before the pandemic, I was in London doing a play. I would do therapy on my Zoom. And I just thought it was a thing for therapists. And then all of a sudden everyone was doing it.
I see.
Yeah.
So you thought you were in some sort of clinical holding room.
I did. I thought it was all a sort of a scheme by mad therapists to get us to, I don't know. It was just a very odd thing for me. I've readjusted. But I think it's really interesting that, like, when I did it, you know, I think talking of technical expertise, like when we did them, we did a bunch of them in my house in New York for the first bunch I did. Technically, they were not of a great high level of sound expertise. Would you not agree?
No. No, little and things. I think it's...
And occasionally you'd put a little iPod little thing in your ear and sort of check and go, ooh, and then see you twiddling some knobs.
Yes. Well, because I want it to be like a conversation, so I don't want someone there recording it who immediately makes it feel a bit more pro.
Then
what that means is then I test the levels, but obviously you're having a conversation with someone and you're in a really intense conversation. They're telling you about their childhood and how much they hate their parents, and I'm slowly pulling a white ear pod up to my ear as I check that actually is it recording at all. And because when it gets more kind of animated as a conversation, when we're all finding ourselves hysterically funny, which obviously happens a lot, everyone gets louder and louder, and then it ruins the sound. So you're sort of laughing at someone's joke while trying to turn them down.
God, that's life. That's a sort of allegory for life, isn't it? There,
it's a t-shirt, isn't it? But I just think it was. That's what I love about it all, and I love that element of it. And I think you can lose that in life and in work. And
totally.
I was a music video director for many years, and there's a lot of you know, you're working with massive pop stars, with massive record companies and massive management companies. And the amount of analysis that was going on in my life about everything I did, I was like, I just want to record something for an hour, upload it to the internet, and it's real, and yeah. No one gets in the way. And I think that's why podcasting has become a thing that people are so drawn to, because actually it's really unusual to have that level of authenticity, for want of a better word.
It's sort of deregulated the way we find out about people, you know, the way that we heat and listen to people's stories. Deregulation, I'm not a fan of in other ways, but I definitely have been. It's much more egalitarian this way. I think it's interesting. I'm just thinking about the podcasts that I listen to, and sometimes, you know, the ones that are just people talking, like you and me, like this, are very different, like very different experiences, obviously, aside to ones like, there's one I've been listening to recently about the pool boy who had sex with Jerry Halliwell's wife, and Jerry Halliwell watched. Do you know that one?
No, Jerry Halliwell's wife.
Not Jerry Halliwell, the Spice Girls. Oh my, Jerry Falwell. Sorry.
So like, this is quite the scoop.
Oh my god. Oh, this is
so many revelations in one go.
I can't believe that this podcast is about, inspired by my podcasting, my move into podcasting, and I'm making so many mistakes doing this podcast. Not Jerry Halliwell, I'm so sorry. Jerry Falwell Jr., the American evangelical person, had his wife, basically he would sit on a sofa and watch while his wife got banged by this hot boy that they met at this hotel in Florida. And then he'd go off and be like the head of this university and be like, nobody can have sex, nobody can masturbate, nobody can have a drink. And then they found out. And anyway, I've been listening to a podcast about that. It's been very interesting. I know all about them now. And like, you know, Cohen, the guy who was Trump's fixer, the one who he absolutely was horrible to and who went to prison. He tried to cover up the story about the pool boy for Jerry Halliwell,
any mention if she's going on tour in the podcast?
Spice World 2 is happening, starring starring Tammy Faye Baker. This is terrible. Oh my god. So that seems like a good point to, as we talk about podcasts and my confusion, I hope you don't, if Jerry Halliwell is listening, I apologize profusely, Jerry, that you may have had people think that you were having sex with a pool boy whilst your husband watched. I know that would never happen. Anyway, talking of podcasts that I like to listen to, Chris.
What are those, Alan? Any favourites?
There's one, it's my absolute favourite, called Homo Sapiens. And listeners, to find out what happens next between Chris and I in our lovely conversation, you should head over there right now for part two.
Absolutely. Get involved.
That's right. It's the Alan Cumming Shelf / Homo Sapiens Farewell to Alan Extravaganza.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Part two.
Nothing less.
See you there in a minute. Alan Cumming Shelves is hosted by me, Alan Cumming, and produced by the lovely Jack Claremont. We are part of the Acast Creator Network and the Crowd Network too. We just love networks. Another Crowd Network podcast to check out is Unaccountable. It's a podcast fighting for police accountability in the United States. It's a podcast that tells the stories of innocent people who've been killed by the police, just like George Floyd, but also people like Mohammed Mohaiman, Shacey House, and Carrie Illich. And so many more you haven't heard about, but you really should have. The stories can be difficult to listen to, but this could be the most important podcast you'll ever hear. It's a podcast fighting for change, and we need to join that fight. Just search for Unaccountable in your podcast app now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.